Facebook can be a very confusing realm.
And we agree with you on that. It's very confusing, considering we're all making up how to use it all the time, always, and no one has told us how to use it.
And that's why we have this podcast for you. Good Help Podcast helps you navigate the pitfalls of social media behavior.
Yeah, don't do stuff wrong. We have someone on the show, his name is my co-host, and he shows you he does everything wrong. I mean, that's what I think, and I think he does everything wrong, and we take turns hosting the show, and like one week it's about how Deepu is wrong about using Facebook, and the next week it's about, Deepu admitting how wrong he is about using Facebook. It's lots of different episodes.
Sometimes there's an episode about how serious you fucking handle everything, so...
Well, am I? That's, you're pretty serious too, Mr. Grumpy Pants.
I don't know.
This is where... And listen to the comedy happening already. We're going to take turns telling you how to use Facebook and social media caringers the way you want. If you don't know what a caringer is, listen to the show. You might hear the explanation, but you also might have picked up that it's a word I made up. And that is what it is. I made it up. So don't listen. Do listen. But don't expect... that.
Go to hell.
Hey, go check out audibletrial.com/go to hell. What's gonna be there? I don't know. You have to go check it out. But it's a mystery, except for that it's not a mystery, and it's free audiobooks. So go do that.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is another Deepu Edition episode. I want to just start up top with just like a personal realization really quick. So I'm not the kind of guy that likes that takes a compliment well. I don't take compliments well, but I take complimentary stuff with a passion that rivals... borderline insanity. I love a complimentary thing. You know, something is there. Someone finally left a thing for me for free. I'm an older brother. It doesn't happen that often. So, like honestly, like if my house caught fire, let's say my home caught fire, right? I would, like, while everything I own is going up in flames, back in my mind, I'm definitely looking forward to the complimentary wool blanket that the firemen give you.
Yeah, or that space blanket one.
Do they give space blankets now?
I don't know. Sometimes people have space blankets when things happen. I don't really know what they're for, but they're in a lot of first aid kits, and I know they're there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the firemen offer space blankets.
Yeah, why not? They have all that fun technology. Everything they have glows and squirts and has knobs. They definitely have shiny metal blankets.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many questions about the blanket, no matter what the blanket's made of. I hope it's not made of wool. Wool sucks. Wool is terrible. Wool feels like 1,000 women from Long Island poking you with their nail extensions. Doesn't feel good. Okay? And they're always like, well, you know, if you wanted to keep the wool blanket, you know, what if they're like, oh, what do you think this stuff just grows in nature? Yeah, it does. Okay? Space blankets don't. Anyway, I have so many questions about the wool blanket. You know, is it free, first of all? You know, is it one of those things where, you know, like, when they start packing up the fire truck to leave, they're like, hey, listen, can we have that back?
You're talking about that weird, like, that blue-looking thing, right?
I'm talking about how in every TV show, whenever there's a fire, and the victim of the fire, you know, the person who just lost their home, gets to sit in the back of an ambulance, not a fire truck, an ambulance, and they get to have a wool blanket draped over them, and they also get to have a hot beverage. Who is bringing this hot beverage? Is it the fireman? Hey, you want some tea? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. And it's like, it's not even, and it's in a proper mug, too. It's in a mug. So, very confusing. First, you know, the next couple things about the wool blanket.
This is just the opening.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not liking it? What?
No, I'm loving it. I'm loving how extended it is. Keep going.
Okay.
Seriously, I love this.
We're going into overtime?
No. I'm dead serious. I love this. Keep going.
You know, if you ask me, like, if I just lost everything in a fire, I'm gonna want a Sprite. That's the only time I want a Sprite, because it's just like, oh, I lost everything. I don't care about the sugar content and the lack of caffeine. Fuck it, I'll have a Sprite. We're actually recording at a very different, unique time. I don't want to say what time, because that violates some sort of protocol. But
a unique time, chicken o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like the wool just really bugs me. And it's like the fireman's just like, oh, you lost everything. Oh, here's a thin Brillo pad to scratch your face on.
Yeah, have you ever felt those, like, I don't want to say, but have you ever felt those emergency wool blankets that they have at, like, you know, shelters and stuff like that?
Terrible. You might as well, I'd rather be out in the cold without a blanket.
You can't believe it exists. That's how insane it is. You feel it and you're like, how is this held together? You can't believe it exists.
It's held, like, it's held together by a hatred of humanity that the sheep have infused with the wool. Anyway, let's start the show.
Hello, welcome to Go to Hell Podcast. This is the normal meter episode of the Metric Saga, Deepu Edition, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
Oh boy, I love Freddie Unreal and the Turnbucklers, and I love our theme song. Welcome to Go to Hell Podcast, where two friends argue about Facebook.
Why does every fucking explanation of a podcast have to be like, we're two buddies, why does that matter? Who cares?
Oh, that's why you don't want to say we're friends?
First of all, we're colleagues, but second of all, What is that? Even on Cheers, like, you know, like, this isn't fiction. You know that, like, they don't hang out.
All right,
you know that, like, Kirstie Alley and Woody Harrelson. The reason the show is good is not because they're actual friends.
That's all true. It's all true. And I, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said we're friends.
We're two pals. We're two chums. This is not a frat house. It's a show. We're here to entertain you. It doesn't matter. People hate each other that make entertainment with each other. I make sure that I hate Deepu.
I'm letting you know that I'm having the flu a little bit. So, you know, I'm going to be more factual today than usual.
We're going to start I don't want to criticize you, but I am concerned about your health. You know you don't have the flu a little bit. You either have influenza because you didn't get a vaccine because you're stupid,
uh-huh.
or you're sick. Now, which is it?
Well, you're right. I didn't get a vaccine. I'm pretty sure.
Why?
I didn't tell you that. Are you going through my medical records?
No. Why doesn't everyone get a flu vaccine? It's free.
That's actually the off-putting thing about it. It's the fact it's free.
Give me $10 and go get a fucking vaccine for one of the most deadly diseases to be in America. Do you know that? We could do a little fact PSA. I know it's not my episode, but if you really have the flu, I feel really bad for you.
Listen, I get it once a year. It's not so bad.
It's killed the most people in America out of any disease. Do you know that?
Well, diseases are low on the chart anyway in terms of all things that kill people.
This is the fact episode. This is the
You're right,
episode,
you're right. This is the fact episode. I take that last
this
thing
is him
back.
Being really factual. Diseases. Wait, hold on. I want to say diseases are really low on the list of things that have killed people. Welcome to Deepu's really factual edition, everyone.
Dude,
fuck
even I know that's
me.
Wrong. Even I know how that wrong that is. But
even
you put me in a corner.
Even if it's number four, it is very high.
You know, I played that out just like a Facebook argument. You put me in a corner, and I just threw a lie out there hoping you don't fact check it. Got called
Everyone
out.
Everyone should get a flu vaccine. The flu killed people, killed many, many people. And the only reason it's not a danger is because we have vaccines.
Call me a prima donna, but I will never get a flu shot at a supermarket. Okay.
Prima donna?
Prima donna.
Okay.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, prima donna is the right word.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway.
I think you said you're not a dance.
I'm not that either. It's factual. I'm keeping it factual.
Call Deepu a promenade. But
okay. So, yeah, I'm kind of under the weather, but we're braving through that.
Do you have a fever?
I had a sore throat yesterday. I think it just got fucking so cold in the East Coast, like, this past weekend, and I was kind of underdressed a couple nights, so I think I just caught something that way. A little sore throat.
I cannot handle this kind of shit. I'm fine with people saying this kind of stuff normally, but you can't just say this is the fact episode and then just keep, like, I can't not bombard you a little bit.
What about
cold weather makes you cold, makes you sick? Nothing.
What happens is, I mean, this is just my guess. I mean, listen, if you are underdressed and
I'm fine with you saying I was underdressed. I feel very, you know, it's my body's been taxed from having to create its own warmth.
Uh-huh.
But this idea.
Oh, throw the flu thing out the door. I made that up.
No, but I caught something because it was cold. That's not.
Okay.
The winter, everyone's immune systems are weakened because it's cold and we're inside and we're gross. And our skin gets dry, and there's all these factors that, like, make your body more able to catch stuff. But this idea of this Campbell soup version of how the Simpsons, that's where you get a lot of your medical facts from, that you were out in the cold, and then you got the flu. I don't know how those two facts intersect. You can't catch viruses from weather.
Buddy, you're hanging on to every word, and in some way it's like,
well, you can't
say
it's the science episode and then be like, and here are my false platitudes and wives' wisdom that I have
you're
for
right.
you.
You're right. Okay, my illness had nothing to do with, it's not the factual part of this episode. Okay?
Yes,
I just want
yeah.
I'm just talking like I talk to people I know. You know, like, hey man, I'm a little under the weather. Don't shake my hand. It's not gonna end well for you.
I have a little bit of the flu.
You know, coming out of your mouth, I understand how dumb it is.
When you hear it from me, it sounds really stupid.
Is that therapy? Oh, is that what therapy is?
It's sometimes it is hearing yourself say stuff out loud.
Yeah.
Anyway,
The weather got me sick. I got gonorrhea from a wind. Yeah, it sucks. The wind gave me gonorrhea. I was in a tornado. Now I have gout.
Hurricane Sandy gave me AIDS.
You know, can I be honest? I would normally say, don't be so offensive about two tragedies, but I want you to know that's as intelligent as I was in the cold weather and I have a little bit of the flu. Both sentences make as much sense to me.
Oh boy!
All right, go on with your episode.
I hope.
Close the window. You don't want to get pink eye.
It could happen if some guy in the area,
can't.
If some guy farts into the air and a little bit of those particles go into my eye, I got pink eye. Anyway, do you know about the Kurosawa effect?
You were talking about this last week.
Mentioned
effect.
It last week because it's such an interesting concept, and it applies to Facebook, and there's a lot of things to be delved into here. The Kurosawa effect is the effect of so Hitchcock invented this concept where the arrangement of two shots back to back can confer a certain meaning.
No, he didn't invent that. I'm sorry. I can't.
Talking to a filmmaker about.
I know. So this is like what things you. It's called montage. Nowadays we know montage as, whatchamacallit. A whole. We consider it a time lapse montage. But in reality, montage is this idea that.
I'm talking about the Kurosawa effect. It wasn't.
I'm
going to
tell you what it is in a second.
It wasn't Hitchcock.
It wasn't Hitchcock, but it was not. So what it was what this idea came from with montage was that you could use this effect that was as part of a scientific experiment where they showed a picture of a baby and then showed a picture of a woman's face. And the baby, which has very extreme emotions, was able to, when you change that first image, change the image of what was perceived of the woman's face, who was doing nothing, who was told to relax her face completely.
Yeah.
So they would show a baby crying, and then they'd show this woman, and they'd say, oh, it's a mother distressed. And then they'd show this baby laughing, and they'd show this woman, and the people would say, oh, my goodness, she's so happy with her baby. She's so in love with her baby.
So
this
even
was, this was a scientific experiment.
Yeah.
Hitchcock happened decades after that experiment.
Yeah, I guess Hitchcock did like another demonstration of the same effect.
He made movies as one of the demonstration of that effect. Many people had done that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm glad you
just keep. It's like I want to let you just keep going.
Yeah.
But you just keep throwing the ball directly into either the obvious, just lobs. It's just You had to think, maybe I should see if this is true.
You know, it's batting practice, and it's time to foul, baby. Doink, doink.
All right, I'll let you go on with your fungo practice.
No, listen, the point is the same, and you can probably see where I'm going with this. This guy assembles two shots. The first one, has a strong emotion attached to it, and the following shot has less emotion attached to it, and people derive a connection between the two, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not out of line saying that. So could that not happen on Facebook? You know, something comes up and it's kind of...
I get where you're going with it. I'm excited to hear the point. It's just going to stop all historical inaccuracies.
Okay, yeah, well, history aside, facts aside...
Yeah, that's the fucking motto of Facebook, isn't it? Facts aside... Let's all agree, I'm right.
It really feels that way. And you know what? If you're not right, start a blog that shows that's everything you believe, and then you're right. And then you can just quote that blog. So, I think that happens on Facebook. And we're going to get into this a little bit, but we know now, I'm going to throw another fact out there, that Facebook has... has some specific ways they curate what
executive
comes up.
Executive control.
Executive control. There you go. They have some ways they curate what comes up, and it's based on these exact terms. Extremity. What are your limits? What do you consider okay? And what does this mean for us?
Oh, nice audio.
What does this mean for us? Sorry, the flu just kicked up there.
Oh, his flu's acting up. It must be about to rain.
What does this mean for us? Do we have to exert now an opposite yet equal force fighting back these feelings that Facebook is trying to rile up in us? Should we share more extreme things out there and just fuck with the whole system, you know?
Yes, certainly they were accused of that recently.
Right, yes. You know,
they thought there was a torrent of something, and so they said, no, it's our duty to fuck with it a little bit. Or at least these are what the accusations are saying about Facebook.
You know, you're speaking in vagaries because you have to, and could you be more specific or no?
No. Okay. Facebook was accused of meddling with...
You know what? I think I know the case you're talking about, and I think we all do. So, actually, this is kind of connected to that. So, a couple weeks ago, the owner of Facebook, creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, wrote a letter. Kind of like giving
good
his...
Good for him.
Good for him. You're already shooting it down. You're already shooting
his sweetie.
I love a nice letter, okay?
Do you?
This guy's letter was kind of long.
I want to say I love greeting cards because it's like you got to write one or two sentences and you get all the credit.
I like a letter. I like to just sit down.
You do not.
Did you just say I do not?
Yeah.
I wrote a nice letter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Ask what you were going to ask.
When?
When did I write a letter?
When?
Like a week ago.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Well,
it's like a romantic thing. You know?
Was it to a woman?
Yes.
Someone of your romantic intentions?
Yes, it was. I'm going to Google you a high five in about 2 seconds.
Oh, oh my. on.
Yeah. Okay. Losing my train of thought.
Wait,
I wrote a letter.
Hold on. No, now I have more questions. Was this a woman you have cellular contact with?
I do have a phone. Yeah. With her.
And so was she angry at you in the time it took, like, the post office 3 days to get it to her?
Well, I didn't mail it to her.
There's some romantic intentions on its fucking way.
What happened was, she left me at her place for a little bit. I was actually house sitting
like
for her.
Like a dog.
I'm a puppy. She left
put
me
out
at her
a
home.
Bowl of water. And put the TV on.
Yeah, thankfully.
Put a bungee cord around the medicine cabinet. 'Cause I'll be back.
Yo.
Try to go on the newspaper.
Thankfully, the pen and paper were within leash range. So I sit down on the floor.
You're pacing the floor trying to think of things to write the letter, and the leash gets all... The leash gets caught up on the pole in the middle.
Before I write the letter, I'm barking at a neighbor watching Matlock.
My dear, how much my heart yearns for you. Oh, no, a car, a big car. Oh, my ears. Oh, it has bad brakes, my ears.
So she left me to house sit for... a couple hours, so I kind of spent some time and just sat at a desk and just wrote a nice letter to her. Took some time, just, you know, wrote some, and it wasn't even romantic; it was more comedic. But I just kept going, and
oh,
there you
great.
Go.
I'm sure she appreciates that.
Multi-page.
Her hilarious love letter. Great job,
yeah.
Dude.
Well, I'm keeping it light. You know, you don't want to go full throttle. You need to, like, back it down. You need to throw in cruise control. Yeah.
Did you get a writer's room around that love letter? What did you do?
Some friends.
Who did punch up for the love letter?
Dan Perlman, great guy, funny guy. He's, you know, he's the go-to guy for any punch up.
I hope you gave him credit on it.
She gave him the credit. Boom.
Oh my. That's
okay.
A polyamory thing going
on
here.
So letters are writable. Mark Zuckerberg wrote one and then read his letter to an audience.
Now that's asinine.
Yeah.
Why do you write a letter and then read it out loud? Who are you?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me. I have something to say.
No, I'm fine with people making speeches. I'm not sure what you think my thing is, but why are you calling it a letter and then reading it out loud? What's the point there? That's a speech. You wrote a speech, and then you made a copy of the speech and made it available.
Well, you know, much like my uncle Glenn, it goes both ways. Okay. So,
but it's kind of like being like, I wrote you this poem, and now I'm going to read it to you.
Listen, the guy's a fucking millionaire, all right?
He can afford so many pieces of paper.
Let him go. Who cares? He's just talking to his employees and the press.
Do you think you can have more if you have $1 billion? Is $1 billion in paper like more than the money of paper? Yes, right? Has to be
more than the value printed on paper.
I think if I saw a guy who traded all of his money for the paper. For the paper value of money,
uh-huh.
I would be more impressed with the guy that literally had more paper.
Well, why? Because he made a fucking country out of it? Because there's so much of it?
I don't know. I don't know why I would be, but I would be. If I saw two guys and one guy was just there with like a bank account and like, you know, a code and like what like $20 in his wallet. I'd be like, okay, that's really impressive. Yeah, good on you. But then another guy's like, I turned my billion into 90 billion pieces of paper. And here it is all behind me. Be like that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think about that all the time. Just like...
You do, huh?
I think we're on the same page here. No, well, I just think about simplifying life mathematics, you know, calculations of life. An asinine level. Okay,
I did,
like,
invent that word. Just as Hitchcock invented filmmaking, I invented the word asinine.
thankfully, you know, you tell your audience what that word means beforehand. So I've thought, like, okay, money I'm making right now, at, you know, what I'm doing right now, my whole situation right now, bagel and cream cheese every day for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Can I do it? Probably. It's $1.25.
Right?
It's $1.25. Just go to the store every day. It's probably going to inflate to like $3 or something like that pretty soon. But
well, you should. Well, the bagels do inflate because of the gluten. But you should be. Your money should be getting bigger as the bagel price gets bigger. So that's fine.
Well, I'm actually getting lazier as time goes on. So I'm just slowly doing less and less as well.
Just work at a bagel store.
I really should work in a bagel store. So yeah. Anyway, I do simple mathematics. You do the paper thing. I do the bagel thing. Let's move on.
Oh, I fantasize about the same food every day.
What like, food I do think you think that, of?
I don't know. I've tried in my life to just like, okay, just this food every meal of the day. The problem is modern refrigeration is really the issue. Is that like for it to be cost effective for you to have the same food, like the food has to last. Like you have to buy it in bulk. Mm-hmm. I've got like this. You're saying bagel day. I've gone to this practically. I'll talk about it on my episode.
Well, yeah. There are some people just eat rice and beans every day, every meal, just to like survive.
Right.
So people that do
would
that.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
But is that as much fun?
Nope. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have Zatarain's rice and beans, maybe it's a good time.
Let's but like, you're kidding. You're kidding. You're kidding.
Yeah, I've never had Zatarain's.
Zatarain's is on the list, man. Like, because, yes, Zatarain's is dope. And, like, yeah, that is that flavored pouch thing. Yeah, that's on the list. You could make the dream happen. Let's go right now to Mike and Deepu Share Your Shit.
Mike and Deepu Share Your Shit.
Episode's going great, Deepu.
Thanks,
learning
man.
A lot of science facts in it. Welcome to the ad section of the show.
Hey guys, go to audibletrial.com/go to hell and
what was that? What was that? What was that URL?
Go to www.
Okay, slow down.
http://.
Which direction are the slashes?
The one by the lower shift key on the right.
I don't use a QWERTY computer.
The one that it
start
starts
over.
At the bottom
start
left.
Over. Just start over.
It's
start over.
All right, http://.
Wait, hold on. Last time you started with www.
No, I mean I said http before. I've said four different versions.
What is the URL?
audibletrial.com/go to hell for
well, why
a
you
free
just say
trial.
That?
I wanted to
that's
put
that's so
some,
easy. What was it again?
We're trying to fill an hour here. audibletrial.com/go to hell.
And who's on first?
I forget the whole skit.
audibletrial.com/go to hell. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they should do there. They should go there and get some free books because free audiobooks are fucking so great. And that's it.
Yeah, they should. They should. Let's look at them as they don't or as they do. If okay, Deepu, you glare at them, and I'll be giving a thumbs up. So you'll be in charge of right now for the people that go to audibletrial.com/go to hell. You're there, sort of like, oh, I can't believe you're not going there. But for the people that are going, you know, I'm here being like, yeah, great job. You and I could get along. Let's go pants shopping together.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do it now. All right. Yeah. You guys either felt that praise or hatred. So go to audibletrial.com/go to hell. Let's go back to the show.
All right. So,
Zuckerberg's letter.
Yeah, I think we established that he did write a letter. And so he talks about
facts.
It's so hard to nail down if something is true anymore, you know?
Eat them, people. Okay.
Okay, so he wrote this letter about, we can actually have our weekly attempt of me trying to define Facebook and you telling me I'm wrong.
Okay, yes. Let's do it right now.
I feel like we do that every week.
We might need a theme. It's happening so much, we might need a theme song for it. But yeah, let's go.
I think it's going to end today because, I mean, we're getting the definition from Mark Zuckerberg here.
Michael did something.
Mark.
Michael asks Facebook to an incredibly popular thread, what is Facebook? And all of a sudden, now he's writing it.
Yeah. I mean, he may. I think he's onto us. I think he knows that we're kind of like on the cutting edge here in terms of the discussion.
Of course he knows. He knows exactly who we are, and he has a little picture of us in his wallet.
In front of the picture of his wife. Wife's picture's face down on the table.
It's one of those flappy out ones. It's in his wallet. Again, from The Simpsons. Yeah. Never seen it in real life. It's one of those things that folds out the pictures.
I also hear from an incredibly voluptuous source that he has a locket with our photos in it that he looks at when he wonders what decisions he should make going forward with his company. So
I can't say
voluptuous source?
Yeah, because what the – who?
Who?
Well, who are
I can't
we
say.
Supposed to
I can't
know
say.
From? So there's just buxom person. Why did you use that word?
I tried to think of a new word for credible, but you already used all the words today.
I did. Yeah, it's tough that way. It's a living language. I'm sorry. I used three syllable words. I used two of them, including influenza, which I don't know if you've heard of before. What did Marky Mark say in his letter?
Okay.
What's going on?
So in the first stanza, he defines Facebook, and he says, you know, he says Facebook is a global community. Period. End of discussion. I was right before.
Wait.
You were shooting.
Wait. Did he say Facebook is a global community? Period.
No. He.
Okay. So what he said was Facebook is a global community.
Yes.
Okay. Again, that's a nonsense word.
Why is it nonsense?
There's lots of things that are global communities. I was playing Pokemon yesterday, and there's literally a feature called the Global Link. So Pokemon is also a global community. Is Facebook Pokemon?
Well, I mean, you could say, yeah, I'll grant you that Facebook, I mean, Pokemon is a online community, if you'll
it's
grant me.
It's a global community.
It is, but Facebook is way, way bigger than the Pokemon community.
Oh, are you out of your mind?
No, not at
I'm
all.
I'm sorry, but Facebook is big, and it's interceded in a lot of stuff, but Nintendo is a huge corporation, and it is definitely worth debating whether Pokemon or Facebook is a bigger corporation. It is definitely worth debating, considering the fact that many children are not allowed to have Facebook pages because parents think that's inappropriate for kids of a certain age, but almost no kids think Pokemon is inappropriate.
But what percentage of adults are on Facebook versus what percentage of children are playing Pokemon?
There are always more children than there are adults, except for certain times of... And right now, the only time this is not true is a generation that doesn't play video games, which is changing as well, and isn't on Facebook. The greatest generation and the baby boomers, you know, they're not really on Facebook, and they're not really playing Pokemon, so they're not a part of this equation.
Are you saying that the natality rate is going down?
No, that the there's a huge influx of older people, and so there's a weird population. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so you know what? Maybe Nintendo's fucking just as big.
Nintendo, it's worth a debate to say Nintendo and Facebook are just as big corporations.
So, I mean,
if you see, it's like that. It's like a stupid test of knowing things. But you know, if you were to put out the Facebook F and you were to put out Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pikachu's...
Well, I'm saying you're going to get the same amount of people recognizing or having that thing as a part of her life or spending money. Who spends money on Facebook, really? I've spent... Even the amount of money they're getting from my ad revenue, I've spent way more than that on Nintendo.
That's true. You know what? I'm actually going to grant you that. You're absolutely right. But this is not a podcast about the Pokemon community.
You asked me to say Pokemon is a global community.
Yeah.
So that is not a definition of Facebook. It is it is one of the aspects of it.
I think Mark focuses on the fact that he is putting together a global community with many different services that communities can use. Does Pokemon do that?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Pokemon,
you know what?
Pokemon the trading card game online, the Pokemon forums, the Pokemon tournaments they
All right.
have, the
well,
global events.
The Nintendo community.
The in-store GameStop interactive QR code event.
Is this going to be the whole episode?
Trading, battling.
I mean,
don't ask a question and then be like, oh, Mike, does Pokemon do this? And Mike will be like, yes, Pokemon absolutely does that.
Okay. Can Pokemon show you videos of violent acts committed by authority figures?
Absolutely, Team Rocket.
Oh, God.
That was so easy.
I'm having a mental breakdown.
Lob, 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 boom. Absolutely. Absolutely, Team Rocket. You got it.
Whatever
sure.
happened to keeping it vague? I thought you were never going to bring up an exact reference ever again.
Well, it became about Pokemon, and you made it personal.
Okay. Well, and by the way, I love
it's
that
all
you
acts
love
of
Pokemon.
Violence.
I hope Pokemon's bigger than Facebook. Hope it is.
It's way bigger than Facebook.
I fucking hope so, man. Because you know,
it's
Facebook
been around
bothers
20
me.
Years.
Facebook bothers me, man. Anyway, so. Mark Zuckerberg wrote this letter called How Do We Build a Better Community? And he breaks up into five categories.
Okay. Number one, or number five, where are we starting? I'm going to give you numbers. I'm going
to
do that.
We're going to go 5-1.
Number five.
Okay, so he talks about how do we build a supportive community. He starts talking about how there
better
are...
bras. Getting your bras fitted. Going and finding out what your bra size
is. I thought about going there, and you went there for the first time. Good job, Bazooka Joe.
Bazoomba Joe. Number four.
Gazonga Joe. Okay. Well, I mean, no. First of all, just slow down.
Number five.
Slow down. Number five. We're gonna spend some time on number five, baby. Okay? Number five, you know... What's that song?
Mambo number five?
Yeah. Oh, I love you. I love you, man.
I'm able to get those references real quick. I know where you're going. Yeah. I listened to Mambo number five like just the other day. And I was like, I listened to all the name songs. I'm dead serious. I did like Mambo number five and Freak a Leak. And those songs being the idea of people being in clubs and those songs coming on and people getting excited made me laugh for a solid 20 minutes.
So is it a good song or a bad song in your opinion?
They're both really bad songs. At least the only thing that Freak a Leak has going for it is that rap sometimes will create songs that are sort of irreverently funny, where it's like, this genre is too serious and I'm going to just list all these girls' names, and the song is sort of funny but fun at the same time.
It's Mambo a fun song. It's a fun song. And I remember it being like the biggest deal for like a month.
Freak a Leak or Mambo number five?
Mambo number five.
Mambo number five is a bad song, because Mambo number five, that guy thinks like this is a jam. Do you know what I mean? Like I am the next Ricky Ricardo. Like this is a jam, and like people in jazz clubs will be playing this all the time. Mind you, it is stolen. Mambo number five.
Really?
It was a sample. I think it's a remake of a different song.
Oh, of course it is.
Mambo number 8 and a Perez Prado is, I believe, the Mambo artist. Sort of a reference to him.
I just like the simplicity of it. Like, you know, hey, I want to bang you. Hey, I want to bang you. Hey, I want to.
Exactly. I was laughing my fucking tits off for 20 minutes. Oh, my God, the fucking names. Okay, sorry.
So, number five.
Build a supportive community. Good.
Yeah, they want to build a supportive community. And so, Mark starts talking about the distinction between groups and meaningful groups. And the difference is that meaningful groups are more supportive, and other groups
Dude, this is what we said. When did he write this letter?
A couple weeks ago.
Yo, this is exactly what we said.
I know. It's fucking freaky. It's fucking freaky, man.
What a dick. He stole it from me. All this guy does is steal.
Actually, he quotes us at the end. Anyway, so the second... Wow, number four.
No, that's my job. Number four.
Building a safe community. Now, Facebook has done some... And I'm not reading the letter here. I'm talking now. Facebook has done some things.
Good. We've strayed away from sources already.
You know, Mark starts talking about, like, how Somalians are, like, should be ignored. It's so weird.
No, he didn't say that, did he?
No, he definitely didn't say that.
Okay.
Sorry, blowing my nose. So.
Quality audio.
There's a filter. You just slap the filter on, it takes it all out.
Yeah, let me just do that. I'm just going to press the edit button. Okay, yeah. It's done. Great.
All right, so number four is the Feeling Safe Community.
And
Facebook has done some...
Iroglass. Go on.
Facebook has done some things that actually do help communities when they are in need of organizational help. They built a safety check feature. Are you familiar with the feature, Mike?
No.
Okay, so when a disaster happens in an area...
Oh, okay. Yes, go on.
Facebook, you know, asks people in the area, I guess on the app or something like that, like, hey, are you okay? And then, you know, can relay that to people on your friends list, and they can know you're okay.
This is my grandmother. That's what that is, though. That's my grandmother. Whenever there's some rain or a car accident near me, I get a phone call. Was it you? No.
Yeah. So obviously Facebook just made a giant robotic grandmother, just that just brings everyone together, and it's not so bad. You know, I like a nice grandmother.
Who doesn't like a nice giant robotic grandmother? Is that it? Is that all about safety?
Can't wait to call in food drops via Facebook. I mean, if they're gonna
is that what they're saying they're gonna do?
No, I mean that's
great
the extrapolation. I hope they do a better job of care packages than firemen do. I hope they do a better job.
I seriously want to know what those wool blankets. I'm so glad you are also obsessed with those weird, horrible wool blankets. Because I get that they're cheap to make. I think they make them out of, like, I'm being honest here, like recycled stuff. I think it's almost literally garbage. Like, I'm not being rude. I think it is garbage.
The fact they give that to you and the fact that airlines also give you a wool blanket tells me that wool must be free.
Well, like airlines will give you felt.
Oh, you know,
shittier,
I thought it was wool.
But it's, you know, you're not getting wool from an airline. Do you know how heavy wool is?
You're right. I threw a fact out there and I didn't check it. You're right. I'm sorry.
Ape Deepu, don't be so hard on yourself. I've never heard you say a fact that was wrong. So this is the first time.
All right, yeah, sorry. So, I hate to let everyone down. Airlines do not give wool blankets. Another thing.
Is it Facebook... number three? Are we up to number three?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Are we out of time or something? Or?
No, I like doing the numbers. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right, you know, another thing Facebook does for safety is they actually crowdfunded $15 million for Nepal after the earthquake that took place
there.
Wow,
amazing. They could have just donated it.
Could have, but, you know, they were like, hey, we got to connect the people to the cause.
Why?
You want Facebook to just cut a check? Just for do they do it for everybody? Let defer responsibility. Let the people fight over who gets the money.
Well, listen, I don't want this to be a debate about charity or the responsibility. You know, any sort of Carnegiean debate here about the responsibility of the rich. But what I'm saying here is what I was expecting you to say is that look at the power of a community.
No, as opposed to the power of Facebook.
As opposed to the power of a big corporation.
Well, I mean, we have to thank Facebook for, you know, it was someone at Facebook that programmed the fundraising effort and reached out to people and put the notifications on people's walls and stuff. So, I mean, they are partly to thank for it also. Pokemon doesn't do that. Pokemon doesn't do that.
Are we really going to do this? Because this will turn into a much longer episode, and we both don't have time.
If Pokemon have raised $15 million for Nepal, I'm quitting the podcast. I'm quitting. I'm done. This is the last edition. Meter edition. Meter's going up my ass, and I'm quitting the show. All right?
Now, the idea that Pokemon is based in Asia, let's start there.
Oh, boy. well, Mike, it's been good. It's been a good run.
Before I start giving you facts, I just want you, before you make that promise, you know, intuitively, I just want you to think that there are some basic facts before I drop anything, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're an Asian-based company, a family-based company, a really, really big company.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Did they donate $15 million?
I'm just going to say, just don't quit the show because of a definitely probably. Okay. I'm just saying.
How do you spell earthquake?
No, come on. Just go on. What's number three?
No, I got to look this up. I refuse to let you just sound like you were right and just run off here.
Are you going to ask if Nintendo has made donations to charity?
Yes.
Dude, they definitely have made donations to charity.
No, I'm sure they have to charity. Yes, fine. Yes. I'm talking about the scale. Oh, my God. An ad just started playing in my ear. Oh, sorry. You know what?
You do on-air research? This is ridiculous.
You know what? I'm sure they donated, but it wasn't $15 million. Whatever. Anyway, number three.
Okay, no, because the point is, it's not that Facebook has could have sneezes $15 million. You understand that? Facebook is worth a huge amount of money. Zuckerberg himself is worth a huge amount of money. The point to defend here, or to talk about with why they're good or bad, is that they did it through crowdfunding. That it's a method by connecting people socially on the internet.
They put their debit card info in there. Yes. Okay.
Number three?
I could totally go more on number four, but
then
I mean,
keep going more on number four. A little bit of Jessica in my life.
This whole podcast is for Jessica.
More Mamba number five stuff.
I mean, just like, you know, hearing, I mean, or reading Mark's thoughts on, you know, building a safer Facebook just made me think of, you know, like this behavioral RoboCop. I guess we could use the grandmother. We could use the giant robotic grandmother. You know, what does she see when she looks at, when she's going through, you know, people's profiles and whatnot? You know, does her giant red lenses pick up, like, okay, target, human, you know.
Don't call my grandma a sentinel.
You know, like, you know, does it say, like, status? Status, just use a no word.
Okay, I'll bite into this. What about the idea that he might have created an unsafe environment first?
How so?
This is why he has to write all these letters.
Yeah, I mean, so Facebook started as more lawless and it kind of became more regulated over time. So yes, in its initial lawless state, there were bad things that were happening. And
so according to everyone, but you're now perceiving that this enforcement is sort of totalitarian. But there's Nintendo, for example.
I'm not
saying
it's
bad. Never had a website where people were cyberbullied.
That's true.
People made websites that did not have this.
I didn't mean to say Terminator. I meant to say behavioral RoboCop. I think I said Terminator. That was a mistake.
No, RoboCop's, RoboCop.
Oh, okay. Well, RoboCop's a good guy.
RoboCop is a good guy.
Anyway. Number three.
Sorry. No. The rule is at three, you do it a little differently. Number three.
Is this a YouTube video countdown protocol?
No, it's just countdown protocol.
Oh, okay. Building an informed community. Now, this is where it starts getting juicy. This is where I'm going to read a quote here. Our goal must be to help people see a more complete picture, not just alternate perspectives. You know, this is where it gets kind of dangerous here. You know, instead of just a natural feed showing up what your friends are saying, now it's like, we got to show you different ends of the spectrum so that you get exposed to ideas and you can decide for yourself.
Wait, is that what he's saying?
Yes.
He's saying that if someone posts, please do not hit dogs, someone will be like, the benefits of hitting dogs.
He says that we have noticed some people share stories based on sensational headlines without even reading the story. In general, if you become less likely to share a story after reading it, that's a good sign the headline was sensational.
What a fucking idiot. Okay, sorry. What do you think of this?
I think I like reading quotes just because, like, it fills, like, so much time. That's all I can think about. I'm just, like, reading these quotes. I'm just like, oh, easy. I'm going to just read quotes, like, every episode now. I think I'm surprised it took me this long.
The benefits of listing facts there, Deepu. So, what do you think of that sentence?
I mean, this takes me back to middle school, where I was just...
Why don't you read that juicy quote again?
Okay. We noticed some people share stories based on sensational headlines.
I was doing gangster guy from England. What are you doing in a voice wise? Just read your quote.
I was doing
No, just read the fucking quote.
We recently started reducing sensationalism in news feeds by taking this into account for pieces of content. And going forward, signals like this will identify sensational publishers as well.
So what do you think of that?
I think it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be up to Facebook to show me or for Facebook to decide what are the parts of the spectrum that I have to see and just show them to me. That feels mental control.
Hold on. I want to make sure you respond to the right thing here.
Okay.
That's not quite what he said. So let's back up. What he said was, we'll identify sensational headlines. So what do you think of that?
I think sensational headlines...
He's accused people of not reading.
Which is true. People probably share without reading.
No, not people, you. What do you think?
I sometimes share without reading, but I make an educated guess about what the article's saying. And then I say, will I probably stand by all this? Yeah, sure. And then I just share it. Is that bad? I mean, I feel like
I mean, are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. But, but I guess...
So obviously bad.
It's so obviously bad. But I guess what...
Who's got the time? They already put it down into the title. They already diluted it. Or they already concentrated the information into the title. Boom. That's all you need. Just... I want to put that out there.
Right, I got... We have one more segment to go, so I'm just going to... I want you to get a little blurb so I can respond to this next week. What about the idea of him attacking news headlines?
I think I'm fine with him attacking news headlines because...
Why?
Because headlines can be very... I mean, headlines are designed to, elicit a response, and sometimes they stretch. Sometimes these journalists...
What's the last movie you saw?
What's the last movie I saw? Arrival.
Mm-hmm. It's a bad example.
Yeah, I picked boring, an artistic
it's a,
one.
It's a boring. You picked an artistic alien movie. You're not doing well with film stuff here. What's the last, TV show you watched?
Ooh, my short-term memory is shot because I have the flu right now.
I guess the question that you should go to is, should people be...
Oh, 24. I'm watching 24 reboot.
24. What a great title. Mm-hmm. It evokes this thing of it's one day. There's a ticking clock. There's a ticking clock. A tick-tock of a tick-tock clock.
Mm-hmm. No, 24 is definitely sensational.
Should, and that show has lots of cliffhangers. Should, and crazy promos where Jack Bauer is in all this stuff. Should companies be persecuted for trying to be interesting in a short amount of time? That's what you should be looking at right here.
Ooh. Well, I think in journalism, and TV is journalism too, so I understand where you're coming from, but...
Jack Bauer's real.
People do believe everything they see on television, but... I think journalists, when they write some of these, you can tell when a title is manipulative, okay? When
how?
It's usually a run-on sentence, and because just squeezing a lot of the supposed facts in there, a lot of words like alleged. If I see alleged in the title, I know they're just trying to get me riled up. I can feel it. Anyway. I think journalists can be manipulative too.
Well, I'll answer some of these questions on our episode. Let's go to Letters to the Predator for the last segment of the show.
This is Letters to the Predators.
Because you have to respond to what Moody Kim said.
I do.
Hello, hello, Internet. My name is Mooney, and I am a schizophrenic and an alcoholic, or at least I play one on TV. No, just kidding, I don't play shit. Anyway, I thought that I would talk about something that many people may not be familiar with, which is the days of Facebook when not, you know, any 13-year-old with a cell phone could join, but rather when you had to have a .edu address to join. Now, the address I use now is not a .edu address. My original account I deleted because it was just full of a bunch of racist bigots that I grew up with and never want to talk to again. Anyway, it was a totally different place back then, and, you know, mainly it was a place to judge teachers. And there was none of these memes and stuff going on. You just went on there to talk shit about teachers. So really, I mean, don't you kind of feel that Facebook hasn't really changed all that much in all of these years? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I do.
So, welcome to Letters to Predators, where we respond to what you say about Facebook. Again, Deepu gets to respond to Mooney Kim. Do you remember Mooney's quote?
I think I do. She kind of struck me on a cellular level with her comments.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is the thing about dumplings, right? Okay, never mind. No. This is her quote last week.
Why don't you play the clip to remind yourself? Do you have it up?
No, I remember it. It's I actually have some notes about it.
The viewers have just heard it.
Yeah. Okay, so she says something about, oh, when Facebook early on was just a bunch of pals, and
I don't think she said pals.
Oh, it was everyone shitting on a teacher, and now it's like all this, you know, it's so much more than that. What are my thoughts
on that? I just want to let you know, we just had a conversation about retaining information on Facebook. You can't retain your own podcast from a week ago.
Yeah, I'm living in the moment, baby. Living in the moment.
The moment right now is respond to Mooney Kim. Here's the issues of the message.
Lay it on me.
Used to be college stuff. It used to be only – you used to have a college and a .edu email, and it was mostly people shitting on teachers. Go. Comment.
The good old days. Done.
That is a nonsense thing. It's inherently technology. Of course it's going to change and move forward.
What the fuck do you want from me, man? Mooney's
I want you to make an intelligent statement about the idea that Facebook has changed.
Intelligent statements.
That it's turned into something different that is much more petty and about – not petty in a bad way either. You can be petty and think certain things are petty but need to be dealt with. I think that's a thing that we should address here. What do you think about that?
I think pettiness is a part of life, okay? What are we going to do? Get hung up on the big things all the time?
Worry about
who's got the football? The nuclear football? Fuck that. I want to worry about
Is this some sort of Flash Gordon superhero who has a nuclear football? Who is this man and his nuclear football?
Maybe I just want to have a really retarded discussion. Sorry for using the word retarded.
You're not sorry.
I'm not, but I have to say that.
You have to say it because I'm on the air.
Exactly. Maybe I just want to have a mentally disabled discussion.
That's so much worse. You know why that's so much worse, right?
Maybe people just want to say, I think Kim Campbell should be playing a Power Ranger. Instead of being like, oh my god, so many people are getting shot.
I gotta be honest, when you put it this way, it does seem like the petty stuff is much, I don't think that's really a great way to phrase it, but I know what you mean.
Story of my life.
We're there trying to talk about Power Rangers and he's talking about people getting shot in the head.
The two extremes of local society.
I don't know that you really responded to good old days. Do you really think that?
Hey, can I tell you something? I think I mentioned this on the show before, but I would write essays for, you know, for assignments in school, you know, as a young teen, and I wouldn't even get a grade back. I would just get a question mark. So I think they were just right on the money about just everything about me in general. So yeah, let's bring it on home, baby. Let's bring it on home. this has been a great edition of Good Help Podcast. Mike, you are the best producer in podcasting, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you.
So smart, so beloved by so many.
You know, that's the important part of it. Hey, I think, you know, we're some of the, it's true to be said, we're some of the first, I'm not going to be arrogant about it. You and I are some of the first controversial figures of podcasting. You know, that's what you, when you ruffle some feathers, that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone's going to be happy with what we do. And guess what? Some of those people that aren't, yeah, you don't think we're funny, that's fine. But some of those people that think we're ruffling feathers, you're yeah, good. Feel that way. Feel that way. Because there's a lot of people on Facebook and in the internet who don't feel safe.
Hey, Mike, I got an idea.
Okay, what about it?
Okay, all right. At the stroke of midnight, okay? Go to hell.
That was so mean. That was. Hey! Audibletrial.com/go to hell. It sort of has a beat to it, Deepu, doesn't it? Can you give me like a little bit of a clap?
Audibletrials.com/go to hell.
No, give me like a clap. Clap.
Clap.
Use your fucking hands. like a clap. Bam. Clap. Bam. Clap. Come on. We in rhythm. Audibletrial.com/go to hell. What is the soul, Deepu? What is going on? We're trying to make a jingle here. What is with you?
I have
you?
The flu. Shut the fuck up and
but
read the ad.
Do you have the funk?
No, not for a second. I refuse. Okay.
Audibletrial.com/go to hell. With a clap. Oh, with a clap. Come on. It would have been fun. We would have been like the Blues Brothers.
If they go to audibletrial.com/go to hell, they can get
clap,
some free
clap.
Book. They can get some free books, man, and fucking just get some books.
What was the website?
Audibletrial.com/go to hell.
Hey, clap, clap!